if a man's trying to be my house husband, we're not going to get on well. Doesn't make me want to have sex with someone.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many other things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and heavy topics, you'll gain fresh insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. Before we start, I would like to thank our sponsor for today, Rocket VAs, virtual assistants made smarter if you need help in your business. And if you need to outsource some things, go to rocketvas.com. They'll take care of you. Today, we have a very special guest and a very special topic, actually, because this is quite controversial. My guest today is the founder of the Aligned Business Blueprint, TM, and Business the Aligned Way, TM. She helps extraordinary experts to attract, convert, and retain more high-caliber clients with integrity. Today, my friend Jamie, Sarah, and I are going to talk about women in business, femininity, and all the trappings that go in it. Hi, Jamie. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm feeling very, very refreshed, and I'm happy we're wearing pink today for our very special.
You're happy that we're matching.
Yeah, matchy. So Jamie and I actually quote-unquote met on Facebook, and we both resonate with one topic that I just see us agreeing on and like sharing books about, and it's about femininity in business, being a woman in business. So let's start it off with Jamie, what do you think of, you know, your life or your experience as a female business owner? And how do you feel that it's an advantage in your business?
Yeah, I definitely feel like being a woman works for me. I like being female. It suits me well. And a few of the things that I really like about being a female business owner is that I think that my heart is really able to come through in my business in a way that might not necessarily be aligned if I was a man. My playfulness is able to come through. My sassiness is able to come through. My constantly wearing pink is able to come through with no judgment. I think my intuition is also really helpful, my female intuition. And I've learned to harness that and develop it and elevate it over the last 6 years as an entrepreneur. I was nowhere near as intuitive when I was an employee. And I think that both being an entrepreneur and specifically being a female entrepreneur has made it much easier to cultivate that.
Yeah, I love that. Intuition is a very underrated feminine power, right? Our brain gets like thousands of stimuli every day. But at the back of our heads, there's always like a CPU always computing and giving us these visions of the future, which we call intuition. How do you exercise your femininity and intuition in your business?
So I get a lot of intuitive hits for clients. And so I'll combine my professional experience with my intuition to, for example, I might be having a conversation with someone about an offering or a conversation about some messaging or a conversation about what they want to do next with their brand. And both using my experience and my intuition, I literally feel it kind of drops into my system what's going to be in alignment for them. And then because of my professional experience, I'm able to translate that into actual words and images and et cetera. But yeah, I can feel what a client's going to enjoy. I can feel what kind of clients a client of mine is going to be the best fit for attracting. I can feel what the exact pain points are of their ideal clients without them even telling me. And I can also feel some of the effects of their offerings again, without them telling me, including kind of more discrete effects as well as more tangible effects of their offerings, which is sounds really specific, but it really is very, very intuitive. It just drops in and I feel it in my body. I get the visions, and that's incredibly useful for what I do and the niche that I've moved into over time.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because as an outsider, if you don't own a business, it sounds very unbelievable, you know? Mm. It sounds like literally like, what are you talking about? Like if you and I were having this conversation at, say, a train, and people were listening to us like, who are these two lunatics? What are you guys smoking? I want some of that. but I mean, I totally agree with you. I feel like it comes from, I think it comes from a woman's, you know, first of all, desire to start a business, have something of her own, mm-hmm. have something that gives her freedom and a creative outlet for her ideas. And I feel like when you, using your words, when you drop into what your soul wants and needs and just close your eyes and take a breather and really connect to your soul, it shows visibly to you. So that's like femininity, intuition in business. What about in life or in general? What is femininity to you? What does it mean to be feminine?
Mm-hmm. I think it's this combination of warmth and softness mm-hmm. and a fierceness that shows up differently in the feminine than in the masculine. You know, it's not the feminine is necessarily a pushover.
Right.
But the fierceness shows up in a different way. Women, I think it's often, can be more unspoken, more nonverbal, more communicated energetically. And it's a receptivity. It's a creativity. And it's a flowing. There's a real flow to femininity that's very different than the masculine go, 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 go.
Right. So, yeah. It's
like we were talking about yesterday, right? With water.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. With water, softening, basically like letting things be, not problem solving. Cause I feel like problem solving is fixing things is masculine. But like you said, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a pushover or a doormat. It only means that you're only moving towards what feels right, mm-hmm. Something like that. What steps can a woman take to become more feminine?
I think that being in nature is really, really important. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for men and women alike. It's important for every human being on earth to mm-hmm. be grounded and stay grounded.
Right.
I've given so many clients in the past prescriptions to go and spend more time in nature and yeah. get their feet on the earth and walk barefoot on the sand or grass or whatever. So I think nature is really important. I think for women, we get more from being in nature, especially when it's close to water. So whether the ocean or rivers or lakes or fountains, it just fills us right up. And I think probably reflects back to us our own radiance and our own kind of flowing nature, right? Even if we're disconnected from our flowing nature in that moment when we're being close to water, we're reminded you are here to flow. You're not here to resist. You're not here to push. You are here to flow. And we can be proactive and driven and successful and be doing great things in the world without being in resistance or pushing, right? So I think those are useful. And then I think, you know, moving your body, I think dancing is great.
Yeah, I love that.
Women, especially if we're wiggling the hips, right? There's something that happens.
I read about this. I follow some like femininity, feminine embodiment coaches on Instagram, mm-hmm. and they always talk about like moving the hips as a way to something like it unlocks something in your like nervous system. And kind of like opens up your soul and your chakras and all that. And so I've started actually doing those exercises at the end of my workout because I love working out, but I love weightlifting actually.
Yeah.
So weightlifting is my favorite workout, which sounds like weird because I still have a very feminine body. So by the way, guys, like I'm not a health or fitness coach, but it's not true that if you lift weights, you're going to be like masculine, like, yeah, please look at all my thirst trap pictures on Instagram and you'll see that weightlifting doesn't make you masculine. But I know that weightlifting, like even the grunting and all that's very masculine. And so at the end of my workout, I always like do yoga poses. And when mm-hmm. I read about that, I started doing the hip exercises too. And it makes me feel good. It flips the switch inside me.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I wish somebody would tell like 13-year-old girls or even 8-year-old girls or 5-year-old girls, like, it's okay to lift weights and you're not going to turn into like right. the Incredible Hulk. Because I love weightlifting too, especially if it's to an epic soundtrack. And then, as you said, with yes. yoga at the end or dancing at the end.
Yeah.
That is a really nice way to cultivate that femininity.
Yeah. Very quickly, what's your favorite song to dance to? Like when this song comes on, like you just can't help yourself.
One song. I think pretty much anything by David Guetta.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Your soul is very young. I feel like that's something that my niece would be listening to.
Oh my God, no way. I don't know whether to be offended by that.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm probably older than you anyway. For me, it's do you know that song "You Make My Dreams"?
I love that song. That is one of my favorite songs.
That song, I just can't help myself. I just have to dance to that song every time I hear it.
So, and you know, one of my favorite, most recent songs is. Have you heard the song "Sunroof"?
No, I'm gonna write that down. Okay. I also have like a lot of Britney Spears in my in my workout playlist, but the I think the early 2000 Britney, "I'm a Slave for You" boys, because it's so flirty, it's so like, yeah, I really love that.
Yeah, it's good for weights or running or anything like that. Any kind of 2000s kind of stuff is aligned, I think, with working out.
I think it also reminds us of, you know, I think both of us were like teenagers at that time or something. And it just reminds us of a time in our life when we felt invincible or that we were never wrong. Those were the days. 5 divorces later, I'm here. I'm just kidding. I've actually never been married. So yesterday, to those who didn't know, we actually recorded another version of this podcast. And Jamie and I had a very interesting conversation about an important feminine character or characteristic, which is vulnerability. And I really loved what Jamie shared about it. So let's bring it back. Jamie, what you mentioned yesterday, that vulnerability is a very good, but also underrated feminine quality. What are your thoughts about it?
So my thoughts are that I used to be absolutely terrified of being vulnerable. I used to be very much in a masculine energy, even though I still looked feminine. Mm-hmm. And that was very much present in most of the women in my family. So it was very normalized for me. And I didn't even realize that I was in my masculine energy until I started learning about coaching and learning about consciousness and learning about limiting beliefs and starting to shed some things that I wasn't. And so I used to be terrified of being vulnerable. And so for as long as I was in my masculine energy, it was like, no, I have to be perfect all the time. And even if I am not perfect, I had no problem admitting to mistakes or cleaning up mistakes, or if I did something wrong, you know, putting something in place and having a conversation, etc. But I never wanted to publicly admit that I was anything other than perfect. And so what that meant is that if I messed up on something or something didn't go to plan or whatever, I would harbor a lot of internal shame and a lot of internal self-judgment. And the problem with not being vulnerable is vulnerability, I believe, is a really powerful outlet for shame. If you're vulnerable about something that you've been feeling ashamed of, in the moment when you share it, in the moment when you're vulnerable about it, and don't get me wrong, being vulnerable in the right place with the right person or the right people, knowing what's the appropriate setting to be vulnerable in, it really dissolves shame. And I watched a video on this a few days ago. It was a conversation between Oprah and Brené Brown. And they were talking about this, and they were talking about how sharing is like the ultimate way to stop a shame spiral. So the thing that you're judging yourself on, you share it with someone, and like, you can't continue going down the shame spiral if you're sharing with the right person anyway. If you share with the wrong person, if you're vulnerable with the wrong person and they just use it as an opportunity to shit on you, then yeah, I think probably that may well perpetuate the shame spiral. I haven't experienced that for a very long time, so I can't speak to it, because thankfully I've learned who to share what with. But yeah, my thoughts are that vulnerability, especially for women, is very, very healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that we bond. It's a way that we connect. It's a way that we release. We release shame. We release self-judgment. We release resistance. We release fear. And I think that also often the things that we're most scared to be vulnerable about, when we get them out there and we experience that people either love us just the same or love us more, including this also applies to brand magnetism. Mm-hmm. So if we share the right things vulnerably, not the wrong things, our brand can actually become more magnetic, not less, and not the same, but more. It can be really powerful, really powerful mechanism. What do you think about vulnerability?
Wow. I really love that point you said about stopping shame. It really, really made me think, because I used to be a business coach, you know. By the way, guys, Jamie is an awesome business coach. And if I was starting business, you know, as a woman, if I had Jamie's help, I'd probably have the success that I have right now, but like 5 years ago. So any ladies out there thinking about living in and stepping into the best version of themselves while also having a business that aligns with their soul and feels good, you got to talk to Jamie. So you're going to find her. We're going to drop her social media and everything later. So I just wanted to mention that. I really have a lot of respect for Jamie as a business coach. And I'm not just saying that because she's my friend and I gave her a plant. Actually, that's our child. So if Jamie and I end up single, we're just going to marry each other and adopt that plant and live in a ranch. Anyway, so yeah, I used to be a business coach, and obviously I'm a woman. And so a lot of my messages resonated with women. Most of my clients were women. And I actually discovered one very interesting thing. So I discovered that for women, the most difficult part about failing in business is actually not the financial strain and everything. It's the shame. It's the shame of going back to their peers and telling them they have to get a job. It's the shame of what will their children think of them? Like, now my children think I'm a failure. It's the shame from their other girlfriends, you know, and even with divorce and stuff like that, it's always shame is the most difficult thing for the girl. Because, for example, for a divorce, like they've shared with me, they said that they don't care about starting over. They're actually excited to start over. But the shame from having a failed marriage, it's more painful for them. So on vulnerability and using vulnerability as a way to basically as an antidote to shame, that is very helpful to know. And I wish that a lot of, like, as much women as possible can hear this message and know that there is a way out of feeling mm-hmm. shameful. I think it's kind of the same as, you know, when celebrities have a scandal, they when they start talking vulnerably about it, sharing their real feelings, we actually start to judge them less, right?
Yeah, I think there are a few exceptions to that, very few mm-hmm. exceptions. Mm-hmm. But if they manage it the right way, we end up loving them more.
Right. Yeah.
We totally end up loving them more because, like, oh my God, they're human too. Like, I now have learned to just treat everyone the same.
Right.
I don't perceive, you know, I think early on in life, and if we've kind of been mostly exposed to the same type of people, you can kind of see people as like these different echelons, and you see people in the highest echelons as different, and like they must be perfect in order to be there. And then I think once you start mixing with the highest echelons and moving kind of up the ladder, mm-hmm. you start to realize, no, we're all just perfectly imperfect humans doing the best that we can, hopefully, with each day that passes, and sometimes making mistakes and hopefully owning them and learning from them and growing from them. But for sure, when people handle it in the right way, we love them more.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that when we're thinking about ourselves, because it's easy to think that about someone else. Mm-hmm. But to remember, actually, when I'm authentic, when I'm vulnerable, people love me more too, not just this random person over there in Hollywood.
Yeah, you're human. You're a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like, you know, taking it further, you and I have like online personas. We have a brand, right? We have a brand, and I think it would be safe to say that a lot of people look up to us, you know, from like young people to like people thinking about starting a business, people already in business, but want to have what we have, basically. But I've seen on social media, because social media is now a big part of our lives, some people mistake vulnerability as like being a hot mess, airing dirty laundry. It's kind of not classy. They're doing it in a not classy way and in a way that actually hurts them more. Obviously, they have the best intentions, like, but mm-hmm. sometimes I just see some people do this and I just think, God, please just talk to a therapist. You know, like social media should not be treated as, you know, as a therapy outlet. But obviously these people, it's a cry for help, kind of it's a cry mm-hmm. for help. So that's why it's very important to have people who really want the best for you close to you. So for you, Jamie, what is the difference between being vulnerable as to like being a hot mess?
I think that being a hot mess is first and foremost is an energy. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily about what you do or what you say. It's the energy you're embodying when you're doing that, the energy you're embodying when you're saying that. I think it's possible sometimes for people, I know a few people who've spoken about this, but I think people who are more intuitive will often read the energy behind what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So two different people could post the same thing on social media. One person has one energy that's not hot mess, that's vulnerable, and you know, I'm open to receive and I'm open, like, you know, to be vulnerable. And then the other person could post the same thing and they're just like, they're hot mess and they're raging, right? Yeah. And people will literally react differently to those posts based on detecting the energy that's behind it. And I believe as human beings, when we peel away the layers, we're actually all super intuitive. Right. But our intuition gets blocked because from such a young age, we're taught to ignore our intuition. We're taught to do as we're told. We're taught to how you feel doesn't matter.
Driven.
Get on with it. Yeah. Yeah. We're taught to, you know, that the more that we do as directed by whoever, whether it's a teacher, whether it's an employer, etc., the more that we do as directed, the more we'll be rewarded and the more we'll be lauded, right? And I think that, you know, the education system is being shaken up a little bit now. There's more encouragement for independent thinking. There's more encouragement for independent thinking in corporations. And I think that's all really positive and important, because I don't think anyone should have to become an entrepreneur if they want to think independently. I think everyone should be able to think independently. But yeah, I think hot mess is an energy. And I think hot mess is exactly as you said, it's that instance when actually you just need to speak to your therapist or your best friend or a close friend who you trust and just put the phone down.
Right.
I think sometimes what happens is when you're used to sharing a lot online, mm-hmm. which, as you said before, can come from such a beautiful place, right? You want to inspire people. You want mm-hmm. to educate people. You want to elevate them. You want to help them sidestep some of the mistakes that you've made by sharing some of your lessons.
Right.
Sometimes it's with some people, it can be a muscle that's like so strong that it's a bit too strong and you don't know when to switch it off and when something is not meant to be a piece of content. And so I think that's one of the reasons why sometimes it can be really useful to pre-schedule content, you know, so you're not kind of too much in the mindset of like, oh, this happened, I need to turn it into a piece of content. And you're able to kind of sit with stuff and have a second pair of eyes as well. I think for most people, it's probably quite beneficial to have a second pair of eyes on their content online to help them avoid those kind of mistakes. Because it can happen to anyone. It really can. I mean, there's a small number of posts over the years where I've looked back and I'm like, I shouldn't have posted that. And I ended up posting about it afterwards and being like, I think I used to overshare. You know, like I shared the lesson.
Yeah.
So
I love that Facebook feature, memories. I actually literally visit my Facebook memories every day because I look at what I posted 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I actually use that to delete some posts too.
Yeah, me too. But all the time. All the time. And I've changed so many things to viewable to only me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, I kind of want to leave it there in case I ever write a book about how to be a disaster on social media from like 11 years ago.
That's so funny.
I used to be that person. Back when I was an employee, I used to be that person that would post about like the cleaner being in the office being too noisy or like, you know, the tubes being annoying. And I just look back, I'm like, what were you doing? Nobody cares.
Young lady. Oh gosh, it's so funny. Yeah,
it's good to ask the question, like, is this relevant to my audience? Is this interesting?
Yeah.
And is this elevating my brand? Because if it's not, it doesn't belong on Facebook. Send a WhatsApp message to someone, speak to your therapist.
Yeah. Or you can use another moral compass, like, what will my children think of this if he or she sees this 10 years from now? You know, oh my God, my mom is a hot mess. I don't want my kids to think about that.
I think that's a good filter too. Yeah, like what would my kids think, or you know, what would my grandchildren,
future in-laws, think? Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So,
that rules out like 50% of your posts then, huh, Carla?
Oh gosh, yeah. The day my boyfriend's mom added me on Facebook, I'm like,
oh no. Okay.
But thankfully, his mom has a really good sense of humor. Actually, she actually likes my posts. And
oh, that's good. I think your sense of humor is hilarious. I think people just need to understand that a lot of your stuff is you are actually joking or half joking.
I know. And it's funny because some of it like look like fiction, but it's actually not. It's actually just my thoughts, but very unfiltered. Anyway, but I think it's safe to say that I've done a pretty okay job at not being a hot mess online. I mean, I have I had a lot of challenges actually. Like my closest friends know, I had a lot of challenges in my life. In fact, last year in 2021 was the most difficult time of my life. It's probably the third most difficult. First, when my mom died. Second is my dad died, and next is like last year. But obviously, my therapist knew about it, and my life coach, and my sisters, and my closest friends. But you don't have to like share everything online. And I think this also goes with women. For women listening to this podcast, get your support. You know, get your like Justice League of girlfriends around you who will protect you and love you and want the best for you. And you are so supported. You're probably more supported than you think. So, you know, reach out to your girlfriends, you know, say hi to them, ask how they are. Because sometimes some people, it will be surprising how very little encouragement people need to just keep going.
Mm.
Okay, we're going to switch to another hot topic. So, Jamie, here's a big punch. What do you think about feminism? You want a shot? Tequila shot?
Do I want a tequila shot? I always want a tequila shot. It's been a long time since I've had a tequila shot. I think we need to meet and have one. I think that feminism is something that was started out with the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. And I think that seeing men and women as equal is enormously valuable. And men and women being rewarded in a fair way is important. For example, rewarded for their work. I think where feminism has gone a little bit up the garden path and got lost is in kind of expecting men and women to be the same. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of kind of feminist dialogue that is about expecting men and women to be the same. And we're not the same. We're completely different biologically. And those biological differences lend themselves to different strengths and weaknesses in terms of real life, in terms of activities, in terms of, you know, whether it's physical activities or mental activities. There are different things that women are more aligned with than men. You know, you gave that great example of doing the weightlifting and then doing yoga at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, a man probably isn't going to feel that same need to counteract the masculine energy of weightlifting with yoga at the end. He might do because he wants to stretch and he wants to,
right,
you know, improve his flexibility
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he might do. And if he does, amazing. But he's probably not thinking about it from the perspective of, I need to bring my feminine energy back in.
Yeah.
And so I think that's disempowering for men and women to be perceived as the same, because we're not. And I think it's important that women do things in a way that is in alignment with their gender and their feminine energy and what's going to work for their feminine energy, and men do things that are in alignment with their masculine gender and their masculine energy, and there are nuances there. And when we do that, and I've seen this so many times, mm-hmm. I've seen it myself in relationships, I've seen it with clients, I've seen it in professional dynamics, mm-hmm. when we're a bit more settled in our own femininity as women, and when men are more settled in their masculinity, mm-hmm. we get on better as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
If a man's like trying to be my house husband, we're not going to get on well.
Yeah. He'll just live off of the money you make, Jamie.
I mean, it doesn't excite me. It doesn't make me want to have sex with someone.
Yeah. I know. It's like, oh, that's nice. You're going to stay home and clean and cook for me. That's nice. But we can afford a maid, babe. Like... You know, yeah, it's crazy because it's also biology, right? Like even in the animal kingdom, the activities that make men feel better as men are testosterone, adrenaline, you know, laden activities like hunting, problem solving, protecting their family, providing, you know. That's why, you know, in the animal kingdom, it's the male species hunt and the female take care of the children. And Do these animals even think of, like, I don't know, feminism or something like that, or what it means? Like, they don't complicate things. Personally, my viewpoint as a woman who grew up in, I would say, a developing country, feminism is facing a very challenging world right now, because first of all, the brand has definitely like went down. One example is, I'm sure a lot of people will agree with me, the people who are very rah-rah-rah about feminism, they're actually kind of the least feminine people out there. They're very angry. They're very hateful. And this is just the kind of energy that I don't want to have a conversation with you. If you're just your energy, right?
Yeah. F you energy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not magnetic.
It's the opposite, right?
F you to the world, yeah. F you to the opposite gender.
Yeah, I hate you. Yeah.
It's not the way to make change. Mm-hmm. It's not the way to magnetize the people you want to magnetize. Mm-hmm. It just repels everyone. And unfortunately, as you said, the brand of feminism, mm-hmm. Is embodied with a very F you brand voice this time.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, I remember when I was younger, I was so proud to call myself a feminist.
Yeah, me too.
I even have a shirt. I actually sold shirts that said, you know, remember that famous shirt, "This is what a feminist looks like"?
Yeah.
Because it wanted to say that a feminist can look like anything, and you don't have to look a certain way to be a feminist, you know?
But nowadays, you have to have a certain FU kind of energy about you to be a feminist, or you're not one. Wow.
It's, oh gosh, I know so many people, but I already blocked them. I mean, I'm still a feminist. Like, don't get me wrong. I want women to have this.
For its original intention, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I want women to be happy, to be having the options that they want, to live their best lives, you know? Mm. But I don't want, and use our power to, you know, to support the world we're in right now. Like, for example, we cannot change the fact. I mean, we have to accept the fact that right now, this is the reality. Most of our leaders, our most important leaders, are men. The financial leaders, the world leaders, they're statistically majority of them are men. So we have to do our share to support them so that we have a better nation, we have a better society. Like, you know, and if a woman does a better job and gets elected, you know, fairly, then also we do the same. We also support that woman. We don't need to be angry at so many things.
Mm.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention this, growing up in a developing country, it's hard to shove certain ideologies because mm-hmm. in a poor country, people are so busy putting food on the table. That's why principles such as environmentalism, feminism, and other, like, I don't know, other postmodern or other new age ideologies, it's very hard to make us understand that because that's not our priority. So I think feminism, you know, should just focus on making the woman feel good about herself and giving her a lot of opportunities, and they can just like start there. Well, that's my opinion.
Yeah. If we look at it from the perspective of equal opportunities, it's a perfectly healthy thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's if we start to get into, no, we can't acknowledge that men actually need to engage in testosterone boosting activities, or they start to become depressed and sad and not want to have sex. We can't talk about that because that's like, you know, 1950s ideology. That's not aligned with feminism. Why is it not aligned with feminism? It's true. It's a biological fact.
Yeah.
Or we can't talk about the fact that actually as a woman, once you have a child, you might want to work from home more because you have a biological and physical need to be closer to your children. Whereas a man doesn't have that to the same degree.
Yeah.
He desires to protect and provide his children, but he doesn't feel the same desire to be close to them as much as possible. Oh, no, we can't talk about that because yeah. There are women who want to get straight back to the boardroom. And if we say that, we're somehow diminishing the women who want to get straight back to the boardroom. But I bet you 99.9%, 100% even, of the women who want to get straight back to the boardroom immediately after having a child, they're actually disconnected from their femininity.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who started working.
Yeah.
9 days after I had my son.
Wow.
Which was very, very early. Yeah. And after an emergency cesarean. And I know for a fact, and this is even though I was working from home, which is fundamentally enables you to be more in your feminine energy and be more present for your children, etc. Mm-hmm. But the very fact that I went back to work that early, even at home, I hadn't settled into my feminine in the same way that I have now. So now there's no way I'd go back to work that quickly.
Yeah. Last year in 2021, I had to take care of my niece. She was, I think, 6 months old at that time. And I had to be with her 24/7 for about like 10 days or so. And holy F, it really like killed me because I became a mother unexpectedly for 10 days. And I read about the bonding moment of a mother and the baby having to have to lay on your chest as much as possible to so that they can smell your scent, apparently. I didn't know this, but I had to do it. And it took a lot of my time. And I had trouble like typing. So I was holding the baby. You know, I had to put the baby to sleep. I had to sleep with her. I had to really be close to her all the time. And I realized that, oh my gosh, this is so challenging, but very, very important. Because what's more important than your child and your child being as healthy as possible? And, you know, I think that the women shouldn't feel that they have to choose, you know, they should just have to choose themselves and what is good for themselves and how they feel in the situation, because ultimately that will make them the best version of themselves. So it means they'll be a better leader to their company. They'll be a better mother. They'll be a better sister. They'll be a better friend. And, you know, like, I think one of feminism's mistakes, in my opinion, is they prescribe what happiness is to women. And it's not the same. It's not even the same in women in developed countries and women in developing countries. It's really not the same.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it is so important to put the filter through of, you know, what's in alignment for our family. You know, like what's in alignment for the mother, what's in alignment for the father, what's in alignment for the child. And put it through that filter and not necessarily be comparing or trying to, you know, I think if we compare to some of the feminist ideologies, for example, of like, okay, both parents work the same amount, both parents bring in the same amount of money, they split the bills 50-50, They split the childcare 50-50. Like, if you become a mother and that's not the dynamic with your partner, you can become really resentful and frustrated.
Yeah.
But that's just one way of doing things. It's not the only way, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. that was a fun detour talking about family and stuff. I think that should be a conversation for another time when I have a family and I don't have dead plants around me, which is my reality.
I believe in you and your ability to keep plants alive.
Yeah.
Small humans.
I saw this meme, which was like, what was that? Did I really kill the plant, or did the plant just not have what it takes to thrive in a fast-paced environment? Just gaslighting the plant. That's where we're at right now. Oh my gosh. Now that we're nearing, you know, the end of this episode, it's a super fun episode, I want to shift the conversation a little bit to the men out there. In your opinion, what should a man do, or what should a man be, to attract a fully embodied feminine woman? Because I think that's still what most men want.
Yeah, I think men who are really connected to their masculinity, they know that that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Men who are disconnected from their masculinity, maybe less so. Just like women who are disconnected from their femininity might think that they want a soft man who's a pushover, and very, you know, some of the characteristics they'll look for most are like accommodating and flexible and does whatever I want, lets me take the lead.
I know.
I've been there, by the way. I've been there, guilty as charged. That used to be me.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, a man who's in his healthy masculine will definitely desire to be with a feminine woman, and a feminine woman will desire to be with a masculine man. And I think that looks like, as you said before, you know, it's that natural protecting, providing. You know, does he make her feel safe? Is he strong enough that if somebody came to attack, you know, he would be able to fend them off?
Yeah.
He would be able to protect you. Is he settled in his own mission, in his own purpose, mm-hmm. in his own identity? And is he living that? Is he embodying that? Is he, you know, producing an impact in the world that is aligned with his values and what's important to him? And is that working? Is that succeeding? Or is it, you know, this constant kind of, I'm trying. Because unfortunately, you can't be trying and be in your embodied masculine at the same time, in my humble opinion. Yeah, so those are a few of the things that I think are important. And then also that ability to really lead, and not lead in a coercive way or a controlling way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, true leadership is, it almost looks effortless, you know, like he just walks into the room and people stand up.
Right. Yeah, it's a vibe.
He walks into the room and you're like, you want to, you know, take your clothes off immediately for him. Or he walks into the room and you can't help but be like, hey honey, what can I get you to eat, right?
Yeah. Good evening, choke me daddy.
I mean, you know, you can be a strong and empowered and successful woman, mm-hmm. and also recognize that it feels really good to drop into your feminine, mm-hmm. and take care of your man, and vice versa, but in different ways.
Yeah. I feel like the protection and providing energy is the most important for me. And once again, this doesn't mean that he has to pay my bills or give me money or support.
Okay,
although that's nice. Yeah, of course. I mean, I won't require it, but if he does it, then I would be very happy. And I would want a man who will make me very happy and cares about my happiness. No, but like, I think that the power of like the masculine energy comes a lot from like providing and protection. And for a woman, it's more emotional rewards. It's, I feel like when I compliment him or thank him, and especially if I thank him in a specific way, like, hey, I love it when you do this particular thing. It makes me feel X. Like, I love like doing that. And also makes me feel more in tune with my feelings. And it also, and it's emotional rewards for them. And then I think there's also like other, you know, things, feminine things that we inherently love doing. Like you mentioned yesterday, like cooking for a man. There's a lot of love that comes with that because it's nourishment. Food is nourishment. Mm-hmm. And cooking for someone is you illustrating that you want to nourish them. So
definitely. It's all about acts of devotion, isn't it? Whatever that looks like for you, it's engaging in those acts of devotion for each other without even really having to try and without even really having to think about it. You just do it. You just show up in a devotional way for each other because that's who you are. And because there's that, you're committed to making each other happy and you love to make each other happy. And I think when we peel it all back, human beings, when we clear away the stuff that isn't us, we love to make each other happy.
Absolutely.
And that looks, as you said, you know, one of the things that can make a man most happy is, you know, hearing his woman or his queen or his partner, his wife say, you know, I love it when you do that. It makes me feel X. It's like one of the most satisfying things in the world to a man who is truly in his masculine. And then there are things for her where when he says them, she will feel even more happy and she will feel validated and she'll feel even more feminine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's such a, I know we've both been on this journey. It's so rewarding when you find the ways that actually most align with what's really going to produce that connection, that real deep connection that is based on an authentic acknowledgement of our gender differences.
Yeah. I think the acknowledgement and the praise part of to men when they do something for us, because I mean, like, you know, I would love to acknowledge the men out there too and give you guys a high five, because a lot of the efforts, you know, a lot of the efforts of men also go unnoticed. And when they feel that it's unnoticed or it's not acknowledged, they will want to do those things less for us. So all the ladies, you know, out there, compliment your man more. And for me, the thing that's really important, in my opinion, for men is to be seen, accepted, and respected. I think that's really the top three things that makes them feel rewarded. And because it's still tied to achievement and fulfillment and being able to create and do something. So I think, like, you know, when ladies soften into their feminine and reminds the guy about these things, it feels good for them. So is it the same as your experience?
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's important to mention as well is this all ties into branding as well, and it ties into professional relationships, you know, acknowledging the things that make women feel validated and feel special and the things that make men feel validated and special. When we do that, it can ripple out into all of our relationships, and it can also ripple out into our brands, especially if they're personal brands, knowing what's going to resonate with men and what's going to resonate with women. You know, sometimes I'll write specific posts. I'm like, dear men, or dear women, right? Or like, this one's for the men, or this one's for the ladies, right? Yeah. Because there are different things that men and women need to hear, need to be reminded of in different ways.
So for those who don't know, Jamie is actually, you know, a really, really good coach. And she does a proprietary blend of intuitive executive coaching and marketing consulting that helps her client transform both of their way of being, as in their energy, is what we have talked about here, and their messaging, you know, for optimal results. She does not only work with women, she also works with men. And ultimately, I feel like how someone is in their business is also how someone is in their homes. Like what some people say, business problems are personal problems manifesting or showing themselves in business. So, you know, as business owners, as whether you're female or male, you're listening to this, we have to really kind of, there's always a lot of benefits to going on a deep dive, seeing how we feel and whether the activities that we're doing are making us feel good or not. So, on that note, you know, there are activities in business that are more masculine or feminine. I know you shared it with me yesterday, Jamie. So can you share it with us right now what activities in business are more feminine or that you need to tap into your feminine energy, and what are those that where you need to tap into your masculine energy?
And just a caveat here, you know, this isn't saying, hey, you know, all women should be nurses and all men should be bankers.
No.
There are women that make great bankers. There are men that make great nurses. Mm-hmm. Same applies to a whole host of occupations. Mm-hmm. But if we just look at kind of which tasks and which activities are require masculine energy versus feminine energy, it's a really interesting thing to look at, because it can often help you work out, especially if you're an entrepreneur, but also if you're a professional who has any kind of direction over your career, which you do, whether you realize you do or don't. there's always choices that you can make, and there's always negotiations that can be had and requests that can be made to line managers and so on and so forth. But I think anything that's sort of very much in the head is tending to be more masculine. Mm-hmm. Anything that's involving relationship building, nurturing, connecting tends to be more feminine. Mm-hmm. The piece where you're connecting and then you're closing, like the closing part of a, for example, a sales conversation is actually quite masculine, even if the connecting part is quite feminine. Things like accounting, very masculine. Strategizing, planning, admin, all quite masculine. Anything creative, so when you're thinking of ideas, when you're envisioning, it's very feminine. When you're partnering, right, when you're networking, can be quite feminine. And that's why you increasingly are seeing these groups pop up where you get, you know, networking groups for women, because networking done well is actually a more feminine activity.
Right.
And networking done in the masculine way is a bit too direct and a bit too brash for most women. So then the women come out of those spaces, and then they're like, no, I only want to be in a networking group with women. I personally believe in the power of men and women coming together to network, but I also believe in, this makes me sound really harsh, but in banning some of the really gross masculine ways of networking. Like, I just recently started a private members club, as you know, and it's expressly forbidden for for anyone to walk into the room and say, hey, what do you do?
Oh, I see.
So in my events, people aren't allowed to say what they do until a certain point in the event. So they're just connecting on a human level first and foremost.
Interesting.
Establishing their shared values, and then they'll find out what they do later. So they're not looking through that lens of like, what can you do for me?
Right, yeah.
Or how can I close you?
Yeah. I'll just go to your event and say, hey, who do you do? Pattern interrupt right there.
That would be totally fine, totally permitted.
And I'll say, your dad, probably.
You know what? Your dad jokes, they just kill me every single time. I don't know why. They're like my favorite jokes of yours. What do you think about the feminine versus masculine energy in terms of activities?
Yeah. I love what you shared about networking, because, and this is where it's really good to exercise and acknowledge your feminine and masculine parts of the business. In my business, my company actually went from zero to a $1 million company in a little over a year without spending anything on ads. And the person who closed all of the sales in that time is a woman, and is me. So I can safely say that numbers wise, I'm probably the best closer, best salesperson in my business. But when I looked at my sales calls, I actually realized that I'm still very embodied in my feminine energy by creating a lot of rapport with a client and with a prospect, and then listening to them. And, you know, as a salesperson, as a trained marketing professional, I was able to find where their emotional challenges are too. And I was able to, quote unquote, twist the knife. Mm. And so you can be absolutely feminine in your business. The masculine parts of the business that I don't like doing are like accounting, tech stuff, like putting like a funnel together. Oh my God, that activity just doesn't make my blank wet. You know what I mean? And so it just doesn't align with me. And I hate doing it. And I also know I'm not the best person at it. So I hire out for it. And things that I love doing are creation, writing copy. I like writing copy because it's expression for me. And I try to be better at that too. In terms of networking, you're absolutely right about the men and women like thing, male and female networking groups. And I feel like the advantage of acknowledging both the female masculine parts of you that you have to turn on in your business is it literally is a switch. So if I actually go to some high level masterminds where you pay 30K, 50K a year, and it's mostly men, it's still mostly men. So knowing these parts of you and knowing what to flip the switch back and forth, it's actually very helpful because you can build rapport with them, take up a little bit of that banter, insert your expertise, talk to them, make them feel comfortable with you without being overly flirty. So it's a delicate balance. It's a delicate dance. And the more you practice, the better you'll be at it. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really important to acknowledge both parts of you, the feminine and masculine. And if you're a woman and if there's some masculine activities that you don't want doing, well, then outsource it. You can just outsource it, to an outsourcing company. If you want to check us out, we're at rocketvas.com. We have virtual assistants that will help you take those things out of your way so that you can just be doing the things that you love doing.
And then also the other thing that's so valuable about it as well is not only knowing what to delegate and what to get rid of and what to take off your plate, but also knowing like, okay, if I've got, 3 hours of sales calls today, mm-hmm. and that's going to be a combination of me being in my feminine energy while I'm nurturing the relationship and then masculine as I'm closing. Mm-hmm. And then I know I'm going to do, an hour of checking my numbers and that's going to get me in my masculine energy. Then knowing, okay, you need to schedule something for after that that's going to have you more in your feminine, mm-hmm. for you to just feel good. Mm-hmm. And so kind of looking at how you're scheduling as well, mm-hmm. is quite valuable from that perspective, don't you think?
No, I love that. I actually love that because one of the things that I do is I really love chocolate. I really love chocolate, just like, 99% of females out there. And eating chocolate for me is an act of pleasure. So every time I am feeling like I'm too much in my masculine energy in business, I just get a piece of chocolate and just eat it in silence and just feel good while doing it because it's an act of pleasure for me. Sometimes it feels like an act of extravagance, actually. It makes me feel really drop into my feminine energy, just thinking about my own pleasure.
We can picture you writhing around on your couch with a bar of chocolate now.
Licking my fingers, like putting like chocolate fondue on my boobs. And
I definitely agree with you. I think pleasure is so important and so valuable and such an important counterbalance, mm-hmm. if we are having to go into that masculine energy to get shit done in business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love massages for that reason as well. Like at the end of a day,
yeah,
to go for a massage or go in the spa and just
I know. I actually have a massage today scheduled. It's a CBD massage. And oh my God, I can't wait.
Are they going to put CBD up your...
about where your dad used to put it?
No, not there. Not there. So just in the oil, just on the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really good for like muscle, like relaxing your muscles, especially if you do like weightlifting workouts and stuff like that.
So I recently started getting CBD tampons.
Interesting.
And they're really amazing.
Interesting.
they make me very happy.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to check that out. So on that note, well, this has been a very, very awesome conversation. I feel like we need a little bit more time. You guys are so lucky to be able to, just listen to this conversation of lewdness of, no, I'm just kidding. I feel like these conversations don't come up more often and they should be talked about. You know, so for people who are wanting to continue this conversation, Jamie has her own podcast. She's the host of the Jamie Show podcast. So please check her out as well. She's also been featured in Forbes, Thrive Global, The Sun, and more, a lot of, news outlets. And she's also been named Executive Coach of the Year in the UK for 3 years running. So all this awesomeness in one person, Jamie Sarah, how can people find you? Where can they find you if they want to check your content out?
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. This was a fun conversation. My website is www.jamiesarah.com, JAIMIESARAH. My mum was being arty, so there's an I either side of the M. On Facebook, I am Jamie Sarah. And on Instagram, I am definitely_definitely.
Yeah, I love that. The first time I emailed Jamie and her domain was definitely. I'm like, ooh, I love that. It's just like a confirmation. It's kind of like the universe telling you that that everything's going to happen your way or something like that. I love it.
Certainty, clarity, mm-hmm. cleanness.
Definitely. I love that.
Yeah.
It's still also very feminine because it's kind of also like leaning your head into something that's sure. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a safety about it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's an inner knowing that everything's going to be all right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. So find Jamie Sarah on Facebook, Instagram, her website, Jamie Sarah with an H, and definitely. So this has been super awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your time with me. This was a really great conversation. And for everyone else listening, thank you so much. Please feel free to leave comments, reviews. We'll be happy to check them out. And once again, this has been None of Your Business. Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Support us by following me on Instagram at Carla Stefan, KARLASTEFAN, and our sponsor, Scalewind_outsourcing. Also, if you like this series, find us on Spotify and Apple iTunes, None of Your Business. You can also follow me on YouTube. My handle is Carla Singson, and maybe leave us a comment or a review because you're cool like that. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two requirements. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.